Welcome to another episode of Vital Voices. Today, we're diving into a topic that affects every one of us in some way, mental health in the workplace. Whether you're an employee trying to balance work demands with personal well-being, or an employer wondering how to better support your team, this conversation is for you. Joining me again today are two incredible experts, both from last week's episode as well, Dr. Davina Knowles Robinson and Dr. Tamika Johnson Dames, who are both psychiatrists at Oaktree Medical Center and at St. Helens Rehabilitation Center. And they have a deep understanding of how work impacts mental health and are well versed in mental health advocacy and workplace resilience. So we are in for a treat today in this conversation, and together we'll explore burnout, the challenges of remote work, obviously coming out of the pandemic, and practical ways to create a healthier, more supportive work environment for everyone. So grab your headphones, settle in, and let's get started. So we're going to skip the pleasantries because we're going to assume that everybody has listened to last week's episode because everybody seems to listen to last
week's episode. Of course, because
we're
so
dynamic. We're
So we'll dive right in. Mental health at work has become a major topic recently. And I think this goes back to our conversation last week. Mental health in general, I think coming out of the pandemic has been more of an ongoing conversation for people. I think people are getting more comfortable in talking about it. But now the different segments of it, right? How it affects women's health, how it affects, you know, how the workplace plays into your mental health. So what do you think is driving this shift in focus to where people are more interested in talking about it and becoming, it seems, more open in talking about mental health and particularly the workplace portion of it?
I think conversations like this, podcasts, social media, being able to have a platform to talk about mental health first, trying to break the stigma is essential. Actually, this year for mental health awareness, they have a day specific, and the World Health Day is October 10th. Okay. And the focus of this year was mental health in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've come to the understanding that our mental health isn't just a taboo topic. It's something that we all need to focus on because it affects our productivity, how we function, how we interact. Most of your day is spent at work. So if there's anything that is garnering support, should be mental health in the workplace. And so I think that's a very important, it's a very important topic.
Yeah. And the pandemic as well, you know, so a lot of persons that probably did not think about mental health and what that meant in the workplace. Now that you are forced to work under extreme situations for persons in healthcare, for persons that were stuck doing remote work. So that changed a lot for people. And then you came to the realization that mental health issues don't just affect a certain class of people. So persons that are working professionals were now suffering from the effects of mental health illnesses like anxiety, depression, burnout. And so realizing that this is a topic that affects all of us, so it kind of opened the door for more conversations to be had.
Yeah. I think in having conversations with physicians, with my wife, with other people in the profession, you know, you always hear that comment is like, you'd be surprised how many people are walking into their everyday jobs, but they're seeing someone or they're getting help because there's that much happening in the space. And I do think the pandemic is a critical part of that. And that may be a conversation, another conversation for a whole other day in terms of the impacts of COVID-19 on mental health in the world at large, but we'll pin that for another time. So from your perspective, what are some of the biggest mental health challenges that people are facing in the workplace today?
For me, I think we see a lot of stressors that include burnout. So having to work so hard from either home, remotely, going into work, the stresses of even just the traffic to get to work.
Oh, traffic.
Like, if you're spending 2-3 hours in your car to get to a place that you're now spending 8 hours to be at, and your boss is telling you you have to do 20 tasks within the day, so the stressors and nuances of every day-to-day life, and then your boss is telling you can't take your PTO, and you can't take your time off because, you know, we have everybody else taking time off, but that has nothing to do with me. So I'm overwhelmed. Home life is stressing me out. I have all of the other things at home. And then my boss is telling me, I can't do, treating you like a child in some instances. And so it's just like, where do I go for a safe space? I don't have that safe space. Like, everyday stress, burnout, job insecurity because a lot of people got laid off during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, if I don't perform, am I going to get fired? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have those thoughts of job insecurity mm-hmm. as well. And then just the workload, like, depending on your profession, work can just be taxing because mm-hmm. it is work.
Yeah. You know, you all work in a field that's 24/7. Even I know people will try to find specialties. If your lifestyle is focused, I know a lot of people try to find specialties where it doesn't infringe on the everyday life, you know, as much as others may. But at the end of the day, you're still in a career, in a profession that most people are going to view as 24/7, because if you have a patient who's going through something really intense in the middle of the night, you can't just not answer your phone, right? And then if you're working in the hospital environment as well, same thing, right? So it's this idea of you're always somehow connected to the work, even if you're not physically there.
I know people like to compare, like, you know, surgeons versus psychiatry, one is harder than the other. But there has been points where I talk all day. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a part of the job. Mm-hmm. And you have stressful cases or mm-hmm. situations. You know, you could have a day where it was just very heavy. Like mm-hmm. you have patients that are offloading on you constantly. So from mm-hmm. you get to the job until you leave, that was your client list, right?
All day.
There were times where I literally leave the office and there's a nurse coming to me and I'm like, don't talk to me because mm-hmm. I am now off. Like right. my mind is off. Mm-hmm. When I get home and I take a shower, like I take a 30 minute, like when they see the doors closed, they know, don't talk to mommy. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to honey, because I'm like, I need to decompress
yeah.
and unwind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important.
And sometimes the danger in that too is that you are so mentally fatigued, especially mm-hmm. as a psychiatrist, that when you get home, your family may be dealing with issues, may mm-hmm. have issues in your personal life, but you just feel so spent. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have the emotional capacity mm-hmm. at this point to even deal with what's happening in my personal life. So yes, the walls are falling down here, but I've had walls falling down all day
yeah.
and I am unable to can.
Yeah.
I think burnout is a great place to start in terms of, you know, kind of diving a little bit deeper into the conversation, because you hear people talk about it all over the place. You know, you see, again, the New York Times, there's so much content that exists in this space. Oh, I'm completely sleeping out. Right? but you see so much content in this space about things like burnout. But how do people spot it? Like, how do you help someone who may be trying to figure out, like, they come to you, they're saying, well, I'm having some difficulty. They're not able to kind of pinpoint where it is. So if burnout is the issue, how do you help them to find it? And then where do they go from there?
So burnout can definitely manifest itself as chronic fatigue. So you may find that there are times where it's like, I slept through the night. I didn't wake up. You know, I was tired. I went to bed, but I'm on my job and I'm still really, really exhausted. And I can't explain why. Mm-hmm. You're drinking coffee, several cups. Starbucks is your best friend, and mm-hmm. that's still not doing the trick. And you realize that you're not as efficient as you used to be. Mm-hmm. The knowledge is still there, but sometimes you feel like the concentration is poor. And that kind of ties in with when we start screening for depression, because those are also symptoms of depression mm-hmm. that people can also have. So persons may sometimes even say that they feel detached. This is a job that I love,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have the passion for it anymore because I'm so exhausted,
mm-hmm.
which is why when Davina mentioned encouraging persons to take personal time off, that is so needed. Sometimes you need to rest and reset. And when you don't do that
mm-hmm.
and you're going and going and going, you go, go, go at work, you go, go, go at home, and you're not taking a break,
mm-hmm.
you're going to feel that physically, mentally, and emotionally.
So what kind of work environments, and this is not to say like a specific career or job, but like just the environment itself, what kind of work environments or practices in workplaces tend to contribute most to burnout?
So definitely high stress environments.
Mm-hmm.
Environments where, you know, we like to use this word toxic, where there's a toxic work culture, where there's lack of respect, where there's lack of boundaries, where you go to work and you don't feel like your work is being valued.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel as though you are appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that affect persons, again, mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Persons that work significantly long hours. So you are at your job from sun up to sundown.
Mm-hmm.
you're working 7 days a week, sometimes even on holidays, where you want to take time off, but you feel so stressed and overwhelmed with your workload that taking time off seems like it's going to do more harm than good because you have deadlines to meet.
Right.
So those are some of the environments that kind of lend itself to persons feeling burnt out.
Yes, for sure. So you mentioned the toxicity. So work culture is very important to recognize. If your work environment is stressing that you just need to be a workhorse, mm-hmm. that type of environment can bring on burnout because mm-hmm. you're striving to be perfect when we live in an imperfect world.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot work the whole 365. You need to take breaks, understand. And I'm a very big advocate in any speech or talk that I do, implementing mental health days.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it enough because I feel like we think that the people will abuse mm-hmm. those days.
Mm-hmm.
But if your colleague or your employee tells you that I am not well and I need a day because I am burnt out,
mm-hmm.
listen, if they are now to the beach or at the spa, that is what they're doing for their mental
yeah.
health.
Like they're not lying.
Don't judge them because that is what I needed.
I do firmly believe in that. I used to do that. Any job that I've been on, if there's that moment where, yeah, if I go in today, I may lose my job because I may lose it,
right.
then I'm not going into work today.
And that brings me to like another point of micromanaging and autonomy. So if the person feels as though everything you do, I'm going to be on you and I have to do it, well, then you mm-hmm. should do it. Because
right.
if you feel like I should do it like you,
mm-hmm.
then do it.
And it has to be done
this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to watch me for the next 8 hours. Are you doing your job? Like, is your job just to watch me then?
Mm-hmm.
And so that lack of autonomy, I feel, causes a burnout as well. So being cognizant as HR or the boss is very important mm-hmm. to watch these signs because that can definitely trigger the burnout in
person. And being compassionate because sometimes you may have really good workers and you realize that this particular day they're not on their A game. Something is clearly going on. And if you just brush past that, someone that is struggling mm-hmm. mentally with a situation, they realize that no one cares that I'm going through my own battles. They're just concerned about the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect their productivity down the road. It may not affect it that same day.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you take a step back and you're like, well, you know, if something happens to me today or tomorrow, if I die, they're going to put a wreath on the door. They're going to drape this chair with a black cloth. And that's going to be the end of it until they find a replacement.
All of my patients that. Because,
so you have, yeah. to, you have to pay attention to
mm-hmm.
person's mental and emotional needs on a job.
Now, I promise for my listeners, if you're someone who is in executive level leadership and you're listening to this, this is not going to be an employer bashing conversation.
Some of it will be.
It's not going to be entirely that. So stick with us as we go through it. But speaking of employers, what are some straightforward ways that leadership, whether that be ownership, management, executive level management, the C-suite boards, can help to create a culture that reduces the risk of burnout?
So we can start small and then try to make it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But creating safe spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
So encouraging regular breaks. Don't expect the person to work the full 8-hour day because we're not drive slave horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should encourage regular breaks. So if someone is saying, well, I'm in the break room, I'm doing just that. I'm taking a break. And not saying, well, you need to get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Offering flexible schedules, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
If you need the 8 hours and the person is willing to say, well, I can come in at 8:30, I can come in at 7, and so my time kind of shifts, then they're going to appreciate you a little bit more because you're still getting the time. I'm not
right.
stealing time
right.
from the company. I'm just trying to make it better that I don't have to sit in traffic for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be more productive at work. Fostering open communication. So like I said, safe spaces. Maybe I know some companies that do this, so we're not bashing. So we're just trying to give you tailored help and criticism,
mm-hmm.
right? There are jobs that I've heard about that say every 2 weeks you can come into HR or to the boss's office
mm-hmm.
and we can have a conversation. What has bothered you in this last 2 weeks? And it's mandatory. Even if you sit down in the chair and you say nothing for 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it is mandatory that
That's
you sit in my
time.
Office and we're having a conversation to figure it out.
Right.
Right? So having that open door policy allows for communication to occur. And then I'll be the advocate for 2024, 2025, implementing mental health days. And we need to call it that because at the end of the day, it's not a sick day. Like, yes, it is a sick day, and it's for, you know,
right.
your mental health time.
The brain is sick.
I need a day.
Because mental health is health.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
It is a sick day.
But I don't need you to judge me when I'm on the beach. Right. Like, yeah. don't look at me, because like you said, I'm not going to explain yeah. to you
right.
why I'm not well.
The
I'm
remedy,
not coming in.
The remedy for such a sick right. day is different from the remedy for a right. sick day from a right. broken leg.
I don't need to go and see the doctor.
No.
I may need to, like you say, sit on the beach. I may need to go and catch a movie, right? Like, because yeah. it depends on what your interests yeah. are. What relaxes you? Right. Yeah. So yeah, if somebody takes a picture of me at the airport catching a day in Miami, I don't want you to feel a type of way about it.
I needed that, and I promise I'm coming back.
But that's the thing. I think for me, that is the thing, right? That is the focal point of it, is that if you allow people that sort of freedom and that ability to do that, you're going to have more productive people. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have people walking out of your organization every day.
Because people are sneaking to do it anyway.
Right,
they take yes. NSSEC days, they get right. NSSEC slips, don't know who they're getting it from, not me, but they're getting NSSEC slips and they're going to take their that's mental health story. Days. Right. Yes.
But that comes back to policy changes too. So like we speak about all these things, but HR is governed by policy, yes. right? So they're going to be by the book. And if there's not anything implemented into the system, then they're going to be like, well, you can't do this. Well, that means that you, head executive, mm-hmm. head leader, mm-hmm. owner, need to make some policy changes so that it reflects and that your employees are as productive as they can be as well.
I mean, I think a big part of this too is, you know, there are going to be people who, because of the relationship with their leader, whether it's their manager, their director, whatever, are going to feel comfortable saying, hey, listen, I just feel like I'm at my wit's end, I'm on the edge, I feel like I'm burning out. And so if someone comes to a manager, a director, a leader and says that, how should they approach the conversation as the manager? Like, what advice would you give to a manager who's in that position and how to navigate that? Because it's delicate.
Right. So the first thing is to be open mm-hmm. to what it is they are saying to you, to be willing to listen first and foremost mm-hmm. and not judge or criticize. Sometimes people find themselves saying, oh, well, I did it when I was in your position. When I was a worker, I was able to work this amount of hours and I was
the black going crab straight. Syndrome.
You know, I've heard people say that
I
their bosses.
To walk 10 miles
exactly. And I had 3 kids and a husband and my dog died and I still showed up to work. Do not expect yourself from others.
No.
What you are able to
Don't
endure.
Think that what you did was
healthy. That part.
We spoke about that in the last pod, right? Where mm-hmm. mothers would say, or grandmothers would say, well, and the same point is even illustrated here. Just because you did it does not mean that it was a healthy environment for you.
Right.
And it should be a healthy environment for me. And we have learned, and that's right. the beauty of education and growth and learning, mm-hmm. is that I don't have to do the same thing right. that my father did, my mother did,
correct.
My grandparents did, because I'm now learned. I mm-hmm. have more information, I have more resources, more mm-hmm. tools. And so with that tool, I'm now going to pave a better way for myself.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that I'm trying to be lazy.
No.
I'm going to be more productive. Yeah. So now we have bots doing things,
right.
AI doing mm-hmm. things, because there was somebody that was innovative and said, well, I didn't have to work hard, I could work smart.
And I want to go on a limb and say this, and this is for our medical community, mm-hmm. this whole concept of the 24-hour call, and then mm-hmm. after that 24-hour call, the employee then starts a new day, mm-hmm. that is the most dangerous and crazy thing I've mm-hmm. ever heard. Mm-hmm. But as far as a lot of people are concerned, that
well,
it is what
it
is.
I did it.
This
I
is your profession.
Right.
That is so unhealthy. People yeah. are tired. Mm-hmm. And if you are tired, you are bound to make mistakes. You're yeah. bound to be disgruntled. So I feel like that a lot of times as an employer, as a manager, you have to take a step back and look at, okay, this is what this person is expressing, and we definitely need to make some changes.
Yeah. Right.
But I think that's a part of the challenge too, is like people will say, well, you know, I went through the same toxic mm-hmm. culture and came out on the other side, so you should too. But it's just like you said, people are learning and understanding better how they work, and you might be broken. Right? The person was saying, well, I did it and I'm here. You might be broken and you might be helping to break another generation of people coming behind
yes.
you. So it's important to be able to recognize that just because that's the way you did it and you think you're okay, because I'm going to say you think you're okay, right? So then maybe. But just because you think you're okay doesn't necessarily mean that you are. And it also doesn't mean that you should be perpetuating that down the line, because then you exacerbate and you have a culture that's going to continue to regenerate every time you have a new set of people coming into the organization, whether it's a new set of residents coming into that system, whether it's new employees coming into any other environment. So what is interesting that's happened, and I think, you know, this obviously ties in with where COVID fits into the conversation. Obviously, one of the things that's popped up in the last few years internationally across the world and here as well is remote work. And remote work has brought flexibility, but I'm sure it's also brought challenges. How does working from home impact mental health? Because I think some people look at it as like, oh, this is great. You get to work from home. You have the best. Like I had people who would say that I'm like, you're navigating now working in an environment where your personal and your work is happening at the same time and in the same space. And even though the in-the-moment interaction may be fine, sometimes it's just difficult to know the separation between church and state. So without me getting too far into it, but how does working from home impact mental health?
So yeah, you said exactly what I had in my mind. I remember during the pandemic, I envied for a short while the persons that were able to work from home. Because I said, y'all don't even have to bathe. Like, y'all could just get up and start working. Like, nothing has to happen for you to get your day started. And the rest of us have to get up, get dressed, go on the road. So yeah, we didn't have the traffic, but you're still constantly going while everybody else is at home. And then I took a step back and I realized, but do you want to be constantly working all the time, every day, all day in the same space that you eat, that you spend time with your family, that you play with your kids, that you watch TV? Like, there is no separation, and that takes a toll on your mental health, because then you can't find that separation between this is work and this is relaxation. And the brain kind of combines those two things as one. So the brain has a hard time separating this is a workspace and this is a rest space. So then you're constantly on go, and that breeds anxiety disorders. So a lot of people developed anxiety during the pandemic because of things like that.
Not only just not being able to separate church and state, it's that social isolation, right? So when you go into work, you have your colleague who might be on the side of you, who might bring you the coffee, and you get a kiki a little bit more. Zoom, you can't have that connection because you're always at home. So even now it's like, okay, well, I do everything from here. My gym is here because I bought weights during the pandemic. I'm now, you know, doing everything at home, so you don't have that social connection. So there is social isolation that, you know, develops throughout that space. Then lack of discipline, because now if I was spending 8 hours to work because I had to go there and go in, I'm kind of tired of that space and I'm leaving. It's like, okay, I have this project. And I'm going to get into another project because I don't want to leave. Like, I'm already in this good groove. I don't have to leave despite the traffic. I'm going to spend another 30, 40, 2 hours into this project.
So I can speak from personal experience. The difficulty with it is you could just do more work, right? And so it'll be 5 o'clock, and then it'll be 7 o'clock, and then it'll be 9 o'clock. And then obviously working in a field where my particular arm of the work wasn't 24/7, but the company is.
Right.
And there will be things that, because it's 24/7, there's going to be someone who can send you an email at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., midnight. And if you just still, because you just was going from one thing to the next, that, oh, well, now it's midnight and I've literally been working since 8 a.m.
So you're not disconnecting.
And do you create a boundary?
No.
Do you say that this is my cutoff point, and even though I am home and even though I saw that email pop up, I'm not responding until tomorrow? 9 times out of 10, a lot of people still respond.
And you know what it is? Because there's a feeling of, and I think it goes to your point, right? Initially, like you said, like you're so envious. I think there's this feeling of, are people going to think less of me because I'm working remotely? And therefore now you feel this almost pressure to do more, because this is the idea that you're doing less because you're not in the work environment.
So you're over-delivering, over-promising, trying to be more perfect. And now that's driving, like she said, one, anxiety, driving depression, driving all of these other, what we call mental disorders. Right. And you're not even thinking about it because you're just trying to be the better you. But in the same sense, making yourself have these different pathologies at the same time.
On the flip side, for some people, they're probably not even overperforming. They may be underperforming because I'm at home and I'm distracted.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm on the computer and I'm just going to touch the screen every so often so that y'all can know that I'm online. I know what y'all is doing. And then... I watch Netflix because I have other things that I could be doing. Are you on the road running errands with your computer, but not really doing work?
Oh, yeah. Listen, this is a safe space. I literally would be, I would be at Scarlett's swim class with, because so she would have swim on Mondays and Wednesdays. And there was a meeting that would happen every, I'm free as a bird. She would have there was a standing meeting that would happen every Monday and eventually every other Monday at the exact same time that she had swim. But I'm not going to be there for a swim practice. And so that meeting is in my ear every time she had swim.
They could have sent an email anyway for that meeting. You know, that that meeting.
Yeah.
Could have been
there
an email.
There are many a Zoom meetings that go with people just mics off, video off,
first of all,
and the meeting is running and nobody paying attention. Anyway.
So that talks about, you know, doing things just out of habit, right?
Right.
So why are we, so that brings another question to the manager's mind. Why are we doing this? Is this adding any benefit or is it stressing my employee out just to say that it's being done to have a checklist?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of making changes to the company, don't do something just because it's one, always been done, or two, you're having this checklist.
Yeah.
Is this making sense? Am I causing more burnout? How can I rectify the situation? Because I don't need to have the meeting every week because this is not even changing the dynamics of it.
You know, having worked through that, I think there were a lot of places that when they went to remote, there was this explosion of meetings. Because now all of a sudden, well, you're not in the office, but I have you in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 meetings every day. Like I remember there was somebody who I was working with and I was trying to set up a meeting. So we had the ability to see other people's calendars. So I'm looking at a calendar and I'm like, but friend, there's not a single half an hour window for the next 2 weeks. And it's all standing meetings. And I'm like, how do you survive?
Because when do you work if I'm in meetings all day? When does the work get done? That means
the work is getting done after hours? That is a common refrain. It's like, y'all want me in the meeting or y'all want me actually doing the work? Because I can't do the work if I'm in meetings every waking hour of the day.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Galena.com to pay today. Galena, always here, always open, 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand.
call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. So going back to the concept of remote work, what advice would you give to employers who are looking to support remote staff who feel, you mentioned, the social isolation, disconnected? Like, what can be done?
So even if you're saying it's virtually, you guys can schedule Zoom meetings. I know we talked about a lot of these meetings, but time where you guys have virtual networking, where it's not just, so you have to turn your camera on and we're going to have a little social amongst ourselves, where we can discuss the things that have been going on with us, the company at large, et cetera, our concerns. Giving opportunities for chatter and communication of things that we think are important to us that we weren't able to discuss before. Encouraging regular check-ins, like I said. Even if you're doing it remotely, having that buy-in is very essential for the company as well. And then encouraging decision-making policy changes through your employees, because they can give you a lot of buy-in where you don't think there's enough of. So it's just not being micromanaging to your employee, but actually taking their advice seriously.
Yeah. So my next question, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball, because I'm looking at this again and I asked this in the wrong way. So the initial question was, how can companies ensure that remote employees maintain a healthy balance between work and personal life? But I've come to learn from my experiences that responsibility falls more on you as the individual and as the employee than even the manager or the company. So what would you advise someone who is working in a remote environment, whether it's hybrid or it's fully virtual? How do you give them guidance to help maintain a healthy balance between work and personal?
So a few tips that I would suggest, and again, this is based on my experience with friends, family members, and other colleagues that may work remotely. Mm-hmm. For one, separate, even if you are working from home, make a separation between your relaxation space, your bedroom quarters, physical and separation. Your work. Yeah, physical separation is important. A next thing is, set a cutoff point and stick to it. Mm-hmm. So the time that you are supposed to be at work, if you're supposed to sign on from 9 to 5, sign on from 9 to 5 and be dedicated and focused. Mm-hmm. Make that the best 9 to 5 you could possibly make it. And when that time is done, mm-hmm. be done with it. Sign off. Turn the computer off and plug into your family. Plug into the things that matter to you. Because if you find yourself going above and beyond, working remotely, you're going to lose yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to spend that 9 to 5 not being productive at all. Yeah. And then you're going to feel guilty. So then now, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you're pushing yourself beyond your limits because you didn't do what you needed to do. And why didn't I do what I need to do? Because I'm tired and I'm not interested.
So the important word is boundaries.
Intentional breaks.
Right. Because at the end of the day, that all falls under boundaries. Right. Because I love to tell my patients, you only can control you, right? You can't control your boss. You can't control what your work is. You only can control yourself. And if that boundary is being crossed, being either vocal about it or just standing up for yourself, because at the end of the day, like we discussed earlier, if you pass away, if you can't make it in, if you are in hospital, do you know what they're going to do? Replace you. Mm-hmm.
It'd just be a different name on the schedule.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So if you're so replaceable, then take that time to realize I need to take care of me because no one else is taking care of me, and establish what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to be more productive? If my job is not putting in the policies or taking the action, then I need to put in that time for myself. So even if I'm working remotely, if I need to detach, and so we talk about separating, you know, church and state, maybe I need to go to Starbucks to do my work.
Yeah.
So I'm in it, even though I'm not going physically to work,
right.
There are now these different hubs that you can go to yeah. rent a space
yeah.
and say, well,
on the beach.
Right. Even. Right. We have that opportunity.
I definitely did that.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I can now get some fresh air, mm-hmm. take my laptop, maybe go to one of those companies. I'm not going to promote anybody because I don't know who we're affiliated with. But go to one of those companies, get you some, you know, traveling data or whatever right. else, and detach from your actual right. house. So it's not like now that I come here, like, this is work. Yeah. Now I think of this as home because you need that separation. Yeah.
Find a way to
and an
work.
Important thing too is I can't forget this. Stop taking your work on vacation. So if you are on vacation with your family, I like the way your face looks. If you are on vacation with family, if mm-hmm. you have designated this mm-hmm. is the day that I'm doing this with my friends, with my loved ones, do not stop to take work calls. Do not stop to answer emails. Do not stop to fix a problem that's happening. You have to make that separation. You have to make the separation.
Can
very
I put up
clear.
A mirror for you?
And it is
to like look in because when we're analyzing each
it
other,
it's so okay. hard to do. And I get your point, Alexis, that you work for yourself. So you know you find it hard to say, well, I can't work if I time is money.
No. But I think there's also ways to do it, right? Because again, it still goes back to the same concept of separation. So I'll use myself as an example. We traveled recently, and when we traveled, we were rolling out social media for a client. And I'm like, okay, so we're rolling it out, we're away, but the rollout is not going to stop because we're away. So I segmented it so it was maybe an hour or two in the morning that was done, and then I wasn't really doing that after that, right? And so you find ways to make it work. Because again, when you're working for yourself, it's a little bit different, right. But then you still don't want it to be where you're just open to every client all day, every day when you're on vacation. No,
so boundaries are different.
Right.
So it doesn't yeah. necessarily mean an absolute. Because right. for you, it might mean not taking the laptop at all on vacation.
Right.
But for another client or another person, it's, okay, I'm designating the first 2 hours of my day when my family is asleep anyway.
Right.
And I'm going right. to implement that time right. for work, and then I'm going to separate mm-hmm. when my family's up. That's family time.
Yeah, and I took that from my father-in-law. So like my wife would always tell me, you know, when they went on vacation, he was a high-level executive in the bank. And 7 to 9 a.m. or 6 to 8 a.m., he would dedicate that to doing work. He would take an hour then to go and do a run. And then by the time everybody's up and starting to get into the day, work is over.
Correct.
And it's like, so that's how I framed it when I traveled. I'm like, so now I have things that I need to do because this is what we're doing.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want it, and I need it to not bleed into the rest of the day. I think there's something that you mentioned that I just want to tack on a point. You know, in your work environment, no matter how you slice it, you are replaceable. Where you are not replaceable or not easily replaceable is to your family, to right. the people that matter to you and the people that you matter to. And so that's the other thing of navigating this stuff is you have to put your energy to the people who actually need you to be present, whether it's as a mom, a dad, as a husband, a wife, as a friend, as a family member. That's critical.
I'm not going to call myself the devil's advocate because I never give him the joy. But at the same time, your family can be your toxic trigger too. So there are I say that to say boundaries are important in all spheres of life.
100%.
Because at the end of the day, your trigger, because I have clients that come to me and their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister are their triggers. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to navigate that space. I know we're going off topic, but mm-hmm. just because you brought the point up that you're not replaceable to family, which is true, but sometimes you still have to establish boundaries even as it pertains to your family member.
Because I think at the end of the day, what you are is you, right. Davina, you, right. Tamiko. Right. Then you are, you know, in order of
a mom,
a wife,
right.
a physician. And all of those spheres have to be catered to separately,
right?
Right? Because what Davina may need today may not be what Davina's family needs, but it's what they need because Davina needs to be well.
Right. Right. I use two analogies for that same example. The first is when you get on the airplane, the stewardess, they give you the instructions of the plane. Mm-hmm. put your mask on first, mm-hmm. and then help your baby, your loved one, the person that can't do it. Because if I don't have the oxygen and I pass out and I die, how is that going to help anybody else, mm-hmm. right? So I'm the best self when I can help take care of myself first and then help others.
Can't pour from an empty
cup. That was my second analogy. Like, if my cup is empty, how can I then pour into you? I have nothing to give. So let me rebuild, fill my cup a little bit more so that now I'm going to be a blessing to others.
Yeah. I think a lot of the stuff is just, it does take work and it does take effort, right? Because you have to find ways to replenish and revive yourself, and then also be there for family and also be there for your work. And life is not easy, right? But at the same time, it is important that to be your best self. Because I think sometimes people go too far, right? And then they will say, well, it's just me here. No. I'm like, no, you still have your spouse, your children, the house, everything.
An island.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, that you do still need to find balance. And I think that's the thing. The boundaries conversation is, again, it's a whole other...
That's a scope of play. Like, yeah.
It's a whole other conversation. Yeah, it's the world of conversation. So let's move into how people can help to build a supportive work culture. So we're going to fold in a couple of these things into one. But leadership obviously sets the tone for workplace culture. No matter how you slice it, the people at the top, everything trickles down. So what can leaders do to create a more supportive environment for their staff, for the teams?
So, and I think we've mentioned this several times already in the discussion, but encouraging persons to take breaks. Mm-hmm. So there may be employees that you realize, this person never takes a casual day, this person never takes vacation. Pulling them in and almost forcing them, listen, I'm not sure if you want to travel, I'm not sure if you just want to sit and look at the sky, but you need to take a step back from work.
Yeah.
And I understand that that can be difficult because for some persons, because their home environment is toxic, being at work is their safe space. Mm-hmm. So they like to be at work. But then that lends itself to another conversation because what is going on at home and how can we assist with that?
Right.
And then in offering assistance, finding ways to incorporate mental health check-ins. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we talk about kids going back to school and people starting new jobs, you talk about getting a physical, mm-hmm. which is a physical of your body, mm-hmm. but we don't always talk about getting a check of the mind. Mm-hmm. And making that a thing that is standard and necessary for people to do at least once a year.
It should be a part of your annual.
It should.
You mentioned stigma, which obviously, and I think especially so in our environment, culturally, there's still a stigma around mental health. How can employers help to break that down in their organization?
It comes from education and learning. And that comes even from the top go down. So mm-hmm. building platforms that you're educating your staff, mm-hmm. educating yourself, like go to a seminar, if you will, mm-hmm. and educate yourself on the importance of mental health. So that helps break the stigma. These podcasts help break the stigma because now we're talking about it, the conversation's out there. Sharing the links after mm-hmm. the podcast is done helps break the stigma because now you see the importance of it, right? Openly discussing mental health topics mm-hmm. amongst, so that you could do it weekly, monthly, have things posted at work where you as the employer are making such an impact on how it is perceived in the work environment. We offer, Dr. Dames and myself, Dr. Knowles, offer employment assistant program.
Right.
So how can I make this a comfortable space for them to know, well, they don't even have to leave the company. Mm-hmm. This person is coming in to do these mental health checks, to do these.
And everybody can get it.
And they have access to it.
Yeah.
So reaching out to different providers and seeing how can I best suit my employees.
And I think, too, when we talk about decreasing stigma, so making something more culturally acceptable also involves putting things in your policies. And we spoke about policies early in the thing. So, you know, for us as physicians, we have to get our BLS certifications. Depending on where you work in the hospital, you have to do ACLS. So when you look at mental health, it should be something where you've set a policy that, did you get your mental health screen?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is getting it done.
Right.
And then put a policy in place where if you notice that there is someone that is working underneath you that shows signs and symptoms of a mental health breakdown, What is the next step? Right. Do we just talk about it? Do we snicker about it? Do we laugh? Do we say, child, maybe they need some time off from work? No, have something in place where you notice these particular signs and symptoms in your employee, then this is the next step. You refer them to this person, and that person then takes this next course of action. So have something set aside, and like Tavina mentioned, that could be done through employee assistance programs.
Don't just plan to get rid of them.
Not, right. I was just about to say that we're not going to fire them too, because a lot of companies that I know personally will ask for certain letters and ask for certain things to have a one edge up on their employee to fire them. Why are we firing? Like, I have high officials.
Please don't ask me for no letter so that you can fire somebody. Oh, great God.
Because they're high-functioning people that have mental illnesses. And so there's nothing wrong.
It's that comment. You'd be surprised.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's breaking the stigma. And everybody can do it.
And I'll add one to that. Just be real. Like, I think what happens sometimes is people hear things like this. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have to do that. And they do this like this. It's almost like you just put wallpaper over a very rotten, disgusting wall, and you're saying you're fine. You're just, yeah, we doing no. Be real. Like do it with the actual interest of your employees at mind, not just your bottom line. Because if you think about it, if you're treating people well, they will give you their best. And if they're giving you your best, your bottom line should improve. But if you pretend to treat them well, they will pretend to give you their best, and then your bottom line will not improve. It will actually get worse because you are creating a cyclical culture of, well, they ain't checking for me, so I ain't checking for them.
Putting a Band-Aid on a gushing wound.
That. But I will give kudos. There have been, Dr. Knowles and myself can attest to this, we've done several talks within this past year alone at organizations, schools, companies, you name it, that have brought us in to talk about mental health in their workplace and their employees and how to support each other, how to support themselves, both on the job and at home. So I think conversations like those are important because a lot of times when you get feedback from the audience, people will tell you that they're struggling, or they will kind of allude to the fact that they know someone else who is struggling. Mm-hmm. So being able to provide persons with the tools, though they may not be a professional, but giving them that information so that they can recognize signs and symptoms and know what next steps to take, that's also so very important.
You know, I guess speaking to that concept of being real, how can managers check in with employees in a way that does feel genuine and supportive? Because like you said, you don't want it to be doing this where you're just trying to get a letter so you can get rid of someone.
So, you know, like we mentioned before, if you make it, Davina had mentioned that there was some company that had a set check-in time where this isn't something that I'm calling you into the office and you have to be nervous and afraid because they call me in because something bad happened. If you know that you have a set time, that this is my office hours, so to speak, where I typically go in and they allow me to speak and to vent about what's happening and how I've been feeling, then you kind of know that this is a safe space and I feel open enough because they expect me to offload and to say how I feel. And if you find that having a group of people talk to one person that's ahead, doing a mentorship program. So you have a certain levels, you know, in our profession, we have SHOs, registrars, consultants. In other professions, they have the line staff, they have the managers, they have the senior managers. So having a mentorship program where you have persons that are under you and you, it is your responsibility to have check-in periods with them where it becomes a little less structured. So people feel a little bit more comfortable speaking, and it doesn't even have to be at the office. You can have where this is your designated check-in period and try to find a time outside of office hours, outside of the work environment to check in. Yeah. Yeah. People love food. I love a good meal.
Yeah, I think the important thing there too is modeling, right? Because how I imagine that's a critical part of this. We talked about, you know, in your environment, in other environments, people would be like, well, this is the way I did it. But how important is it for leaders to model healthy, you know, engagement with work, healthy management of their portfolio, their stressors? How important is that in then the interaction that line staff or people who are there downline, like how do they manage?
So in the Bahamas, there's this saying, don't do as I do as I say do, right? And that is so old school, because like you said, this is a different generation, and the generation even under us are very vocal. They are very...
They have no limits.
They would, yeah, they would tell you very quickly how they feel. So at the end of the day, you can't fake it till you make it with them. So you have to not have that mentality and say, well, if I'm encouraging mental health days, if I'm encouraging work-life balance, if I'm encouraging boundaries, and I've now accepted and understand the importance, then I too need to start doing those things, because the people under me aren't going to just do as I say do. They're going to watch you and be like, well, you don't do it, but I'm going to do my own thing over here.
Right.
Because that's going to foster the toxic culture. And we use that word very loosely, but at the end of the day, it is true. So the best way to avoid having that toxic culture is not doing as I say do, and do as you've been learning through this podcast, taking your mental health days, setting boundaries, opening communication, all of the things, do all of them. And then, you know, your work life will get a little bit better.
And I'll share a transparent story. When I first started working at SRC, that's Sandlands, by the way, my very first unit, I remember my consultant, big ups to him. I had just started. I came from PMH. I didn't know anything about casual days. I mean, of course that was a thing, but who really took those, right? And he said to me, you know, you have casual days to take, right? And I was like, okay, so like...
First of all,
put them in. Then he's like, yeah, you need to take some. Like, I was encouraged to take time off. So I think seeing that it is the culture, like, they definitely do tell us.
We won't talk about the other
put
place.
In, yeah.
Where they tell them, you have to earn
these. Yeah, that's a new thing. I'm talking about my experience. When I first came, it was definitely a... Take your casual days.
Right.
You have this amount of vacation days. You have this amount of casual days. Take them, because I'm going to take mine. So watching people pay attention to their family life, watching people take care of their mental health, it trickles down, because then you don't feel guilty. If you see your boss working, you kind of feel like, well, where are I going? Talking about I need a break every 2 weeks. But then if you see your boss saying, no, child, I need to de-stress, I need to unwind, then it feels a little bit more...
Encouraging
that I too shall de-stress and unwind as well.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So let's try to give some concrete advice for, because I think we did a good bit of talking to employers. Mm-hmm. You know, if an employee is feeling overwhelmed, what's the first thing that they should do?
Pause. Back. Take a deep breath in. Hold it for 4 seconds. Blow out. Hold it for 4 seconds. Cycle that for 10. Take your breaks. Mm-hmm. Have your moment. If I need to go to the bathroom and de-stress, if I need to go outside and breathe, do what you have to do. Set your own boundaries, because like we said, you will be replaced.
Yeah.
So what do I need to do? Do I need to go to the psychiatrist because I know that I'm seeing the signs within myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use available resources.
Right. The resources out there. So knowledge is power. These are the tools, but now how do I access the care?
Yeah. Full transparency. I had moments where I left work and I took a long drive, and I put on Linkin Park, because it's just like you get it out, right?
Is that Cut My Life in Two?
No, that's Papa Roach. That's hilarious for a million reasons. No, that's funny because people used to tell me that I look like the lead singer of that band, so that's particularly funny.
Okay.
No, but it's just because for me it was like you scream the song out. And it's out. Whatever that feeling was, it's out. And it's out in a way where I'm not offloading it onto my wife, onto my kids, but I'm getting it out of my system. Now, y'all can tell me that's healthy or unhealthy.
It's healthy because I actually told patients to go to the beach. If you have to wind your windows up because you feel like you're using the C word, fine. Roll your windows up and just scream to the highest pitch of your voice.
Yeah.
Because one, you're getting therapy just by looking at the water. Like, our water is beautiful. Like, I'm...
$3.99.
No shame. Like, the Bahamas is a beautiful place. We get that for $3.99. You could literally drive around any island and look at a beach. Free therapy.
Yeah.
Sit out on the beach and scream to your heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
Because just getting it out does the world of a difference.
And if those small things don't cut the trick, do not be afraid to ask for time off. Makes no sense sitting at work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not focused, mm-hmm. if you can't function, if you can't be productive, you just waste in space.
You said something very important in that where toxicity can find you anywhere. And so people have this belief that if I leave or if I step away, that things are just going to get better. The grass is greener where you water it.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the other side. It's because that same culture can find you in another space. So it's not just about stepping away or detaching from that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's figuring out what my triggers are,
right.
Who am I,
mm-hmm.
what do I need, what do I like, what do I dislike,
mm-hmm.
how do I deal or navigate this space,
yeah.
what are my boundaries. So it's not just about detaching, but figuring out what it is that I need to water my grass.
From a general standpoint, and you can answer this both from the employee side and the employer side, are there any resources or tools that you would recommend for people on either side of that spectrum who are looking to learn more or get help?
One, come and see your psychiatrist. You should have an annual physical, just as you do your regular checks, right? So your annual physical and your mental health checks.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have a psychiatrist? And what better psychiatrist than Dr. Dams
and
myself, Dr. Robinson, right? So there's that. Companies, as we spoke about, employment assistance programs.
Yeah.
There are specialists that offer that as a service. So you don't just look for your employee to just go out there and find us. You then bring us in.
Yeah.
So monthly, you know that your employees are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both sides of the stream, but I feel like those are the biggest things that after a while, if those are implemented, everything else will follow.
And then there are smaller things too. So we talk a lot about boundaries and taking time to rest and reset.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to get back into the culture of exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And exercising doesn't have to mean that you join a gym. Mm-hmm. Right? We go to the gym, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. But you can go to the park, you can go on the beach and take a swim.
You gotta be a certain level of skinny to go to the gym. You don't have to!
All shapes and sizes, but exercise is so critical.
Yeah.
Paying attention to diet. So dietary changes can definitely affect mood and how you perform. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, drug use, those are some of the things that also affect your performance on a job and affect your mood. Mm-hmm. So looking into your mental health encompasses a whole wide variety of things. And so you have to be cognizant of you as a whole body.
Just to add on to the exercise thing, you know, I've seen videos with people who are doing like chair exercises, things like that. I think that's another thing. Again, practically, there are a lot of different ways you could tackle this, even if you have other health challenges, physical challenges, things like that. There are ways to kind of get it done.
Right. There are things that are free 99. Like, we use these things that are almost different appendages called smartphones. Mm-hmm. And we don't use them for their capabilities. So even with the New York Times, why aren't you utilizing it for the benefits that it does have? Right? So there are resources that are out there. So you don't have to go to the gym and spend $430 every 3 months. What you can literally go to your back door and flip a rock or like, you know, they're do jumping jacks. Do find a workout on YouTube that's literally free on the device that you have that is attached to your hand.
And you don't even need your own weights, cans and the covers.
The water bottles, gallon bottles, those things like are free.
So obviously you want to give people an opportunity to know where they can find you. So how do people get in contact with either of you if they're interested in finding out more, if they want to book a visit, if they want, if it's an employer who wants to set up, you know, maybe an employee program like you were talking about, how can people get in contact?
Once again, so email or telephone. So I'm Dr. Johnson Deems at OaktreeMedicalCenter.com. Davina is Dr. Knowles Robinson.
No, Dr. Knowles.
Dr. Knowles, point blank, at OaktreeMedicalCenter.com. And then the office phones are 825-4674. That's Oak Tree Medical Center, East Street South. Mm-hmm. And then Oak Tree Medical Center, the specialty clinic, is 605-2030. So those are the two ways that you can reach us. And by all means, if you are listening to this podcast, if you see us on YouTube, send a message in the comments, let us know, and we'll try our best to track you down.
That right. So 816-6463. Like, you know, we are definitely very proactive in the thinking. Mm-hmm. So even our cell phone number, so that is our personal work phone. So if you want to try to get the employment assistance programs out there, mm-hmm. you can contact us at 816-6463, 816-MIND.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for your time. There's probably a litany of conversations coming out of this space. But this was a very good one. And hopefully for our listeners, whether you're an employee or an employer, whether you're someone in leadership or not, hopefully you've gotten some advice and things that you can take into action to help and make the workplace environment healthier and less toxic. All right. So thank you both for your time.
Thank you for having us.
All right, and that wraps up this insightful conversation on mental health in the workplace. Again, a huge thank you to Dr. Davina Knowles Robinson and Dr. Tamika Johnson Deems for sharing their expertise and practical advice. We've learned so much today about recognizing burnout, navigating remote work challenges, and creating a culture where mental health is a priority. Remember, whether you're an employee or an employer, even small steps can make a big difference.